Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie, with free next day delivery on orders over €85.
It's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. It's just gone 5 minutes past seven as we look ahead to some of the coming fixtures this weekend. Among them, in our GAA preview, we will be looking ahead to the Donegal Under-21A football final, which is taking place this coming Sunday between McCool's and St Union's. We'll hear from the respective management of both sides. By the way, that game is an earlier throw-in time of 1:45 now on Sunday. Also this weekend, Downing's are back on the Ulster Trail. They're in the Junior Championship semi-final on Saturday afternoon, and we'll be hearing from Anthony Boyd, part of the management trio at Downing's. We'll also be running through all the soccer fixtures as well. But first up, we're going to talk athletics. This coming Sunday, the European Cross Country Championships are taking place at the Sport Ireland campus in Finglas in Dublin. There is, of course, two athletes from the Northwest who will be running for the senior ladies team, Eilish and Roisin Flanagan, are part of the Finn Valley team. Of course, the County Tyrone runners are hoping to play their part for the ladies this coming weekend and put in a strong performance as Ireland hosts the event. The team lead for the ladies, by the way, is Letterkenny's Teresa McDade. Well, the organising committee have had to wait an extra year to host the event after it was postponed due to COVID this time last year. Away from those who are actually running on the course, there is other Donegal involvement. Brendan McDade, who is husband of the ladies' lead Teresa, is part of the hosting committee. His role is the event presentation manager. Brendan has been telling me about what his job will entail this coming weekend.
Oisin, as you say, it's a huge event for Ireland to host, and we have the purpose-built venue up in Dublin for it, which is great. The course, from what I hear, is in great nick, wee bit soft in places, but I suppose that's expected with the rain that we had over the last number of weeks. But yeah, my own role is event presentation. So I'll be sort of in charge of the minute-by-minute schedule of what happens on the day, from the opening ceremony parade right through to the victory ceremonies, and of course coordinate all of that with RTE and with the Starks team and, you know, whatever other partners are involved in it.
So obviously you have a schedule that you've been going through with a fine tooth comb, I suppose, over the last number of weeks, and everything's down to the minute, is it, Brendan?
It is indeed. It's like a running order that the likes of TV companies and that would have, and I'm sure Highland Radio would have the same. And so we have a countdown to when the starter can fire the gun, to when the event victory ceremony starts, right through, you know, every aspect of that.
And it's been a bit of a wait for this event. It was due to be there last year, but it was cut with COVID. So you've had to wait a wee while for this to get the green light.
Well, we had indeed. And in fact, we were sort of had plans in place. And then obviously with COVID, it was called off. And then we weren't absolutely sure whether we would actually get it again, because another country had been allocated it for 2021. But they decided that they would knock everything a year further on. So we were delighted then that, but, you know, our name was in again for the 2021, this one coming up now.
Yeah. We mentioned John Cronin as well. He, of course, is the top man at AI, and he's a very important role this weekend too.
He has indeed. John, obviously, now is the president of Athletics Ireland, and John is competition manager now for the weekend, who his role really is he's in charge of the overall event. Everything that happens, you know, for this weekend now is under John's control. You know, everybody that has tasks to do will report to John and make sure that we're in line with what should happen and when it should happen and so on.
Yeah. And it's a family affair there too, Brendan. Can't forget about Teresa. She's leading out the ladies. She's team manager for the ladies, team coach.
Yeah, that's right. Teresa is what's known now as a team lead. They have a team lead for each of the age groups. So Teresa's in charge of the senior women. Which is great, because again, we have the two Flanagan twins will be on that team. You know, so we're really looking forward to see how they do. as well as Fionnuala McCormick, has competed at quite a number of European cross countries, and she had a great result in the marathon last weekend, and we're just hoping now that she can carry that form right through to Sunday again.
Yeah, we're going to watch with a lot of interest the two Flanagan girls, obviously Roisin and Eilish Brendan. What's the realistic hopes maybe across the board of Ireland doing well, given the fact that they're the hosts of the event?
It's difficult to say because, it's difficult to gauge teams. There haven't been that many events to sort of see who's in good form and who's not. I think our junior men are in with a shout. They're quite strong. But we think that, and then we don't know really what other countries have or what they'll turn up with, what form they'll turn up on. But we'd be hopeful that the junior men would do well. And after that, there may be a few individuals that will place highly, and that'll make it worthwhile for us hosting it.
Yeah. Are you allowed crowds into this event? Are you allowed spectators in at the weekend, Brendan?
There is. You can buy tickets online, and because it's an open event, or outdoor event, I should say. We'll have spectators in.
Yeah, that can add another wee edge to it if the home support's out in the big numbers, Brendan.
Absolutely. And I think European Athletics are always delighted to come to Dublin because the crowd here seem to be more enthusiastic than elsewhere. They really get behind their athletes and cheering them on. And again, are very appreciative of, even any country that's running well. There's a good knowledge of a sport here in Ireland, and the crowds really add to the atmosphere.
Yeah. Just moving away from the European cross. Well, we'll actually stick with European cross because Letterkenny AC are invited out to the European clubs. Now, fingers crossed that goes ahead in Portugal in February, but it's obviously all off the back of that fantastic performance at the seniors a couple of weeks ago.
Indeed, Oisin, we were delighted with that. We had a plan in place from early in the season that if we knew we had the girls and if we could get them all out on the same day and get them there without any great injuries, and which is always difficult to manage, and you nearly need a team of six or seven to ensure that you have four finishing the race strongly. As it turned out, Nolene Scanlon had to cry off sort of last minute, but we were lucky enough then that we did have the backup, and the girls ran really well on the day. And we were delighted that we came away with the team title, which now, brings us on to represent Ireland at the European Club Championships. It's in February time, mid-February in Portugal. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Cross-country seems to be an event that Letterkenny AC have thoroughly enjoyed and flourished in this year because you got a novice title last weekend as well, and then he's done very well in the 10K Sealy Cup too, Brendan.
We did indeed. The novice team obviously still had some of those girls that were on the senior team and the novice as well. So there was two of them that sort of made up that team again. And again, having second and third in the novice, it's always a great start to your team. And then we had good backup then from the rest of the girls on it. And you're right then in the Sealy Cup, which is a 10K road race on Saturday in Belfast. We had Anne-Marie McGlynn winning it in course record time. And Nikita Burke then was third with another very fine run because Nikita was one of the stars of the show at the National Cross Country. And it's great to see her in that form. And hopefully now she can continue throughout the season.
Yeah. Listen, Herbie, just before we finish up then, you're looking forward to the big event this weekend, the European Cross, which has been held in Dublin, as we said at the outset, very much a long wait for it, but it's nearly there now. And I would say there's a lot of excitement, particularly amongst yourself and along with Teresa and the rest of the organising committee that it's nearly start time.
Yeah, the excitement's starting to build is right now. Just getting calls from the course where the build is ongoing. In fact, Paddy Marley is in charge of the course build. We know Paddy from Milford originally. So Paddy has a team of men under him that are setting up the course and all the infrastructure around that. And getting messages as well from John Cronin where all the European delegates are arriving in and, having a look at the venue and going over the setup. So yeah, starting to build and we can sort of feel the excitement of it building all the time. And really looking forward now to Sunday and a great event.
Okay, listen, Brendan, many thanks for joining us and I wish you every success with the European Cross in Dublin this weekend.
Thanks, Oisin.
There you go. That's Brendan Herbie-McDade, part of the organising committee for that European Cross Country Championships, which is taking place on Sunday in Dublin. Another man we have to mention is Dermot McGranahan, is also helping out. The Fun Valley man's taking down a group of umpires who are going to do stewarding over the weekend as well. So a lot of Donegal hands-on on Sunday for that event, and we wish everybody every success with it. Right, time for a commercial break. When we come back, Gaelic Games will be looking forward to the two big matches this coming weekend, the Donegal Under-21A football final, and not forgetting about Downings, who are back on the Ulster Trail.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And welcome back to the Score programme. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're going to continue with Gaelic Games action. And there is, of course, a big under-21 football final this coming weekend. St Unans of Letterkenny are bidding for a clean sweep of senior reserve and under-21 championships. They're set to go head-to-head with Sean McCool's on Sunday afternoon at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. That game's got an earlier start time now of 1:45 on Sunday afternoon. The opposition are McCool's. They last won the under-21 title back in 1996. And from their point of view, they're looking to, complete a double in the same season for the very first time. They are, of course, minor champions, and they're now looking to add the under-21 title to that as well. St Unans, as we know, have just won about everything there is, this current group of players, since their mid-teens, and they will be favourites for Sunday, given the amount of players that have played at senior level this year at both senior side, with both senior sides. St Unans manager Pádraig Ryan is still wary, however, of the threat of McCool's this weekend.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of boys. Yeah, we had these boys all the way from under-12s, myself and PJ Kelly, and we had a great run with them at 16s. We won the Paul McGurr, and we won the minor county Donegal minor championship as well. And we narrowly lost out in Ulster in the semi-final to the eventual winners, but they're just great bunch of guys, and they've been strengthened now with those young fellas coming in, young Dowling, Owen Dowling and Kieran Moore and Kieran Tobin, fabulous young fellas.
Yeah, and of course it must bring a great level of satisfaction to yourself and to PJ that so many of them, I think what, 8 or 9 of them, is it maybe more, are on the senior team, never mind the senior reserve team.
Exactly, I think 4 or 5 of them starting with the seniors, and another 4 or 5 on the bench in the panel, the senior panel, they're great fellows all along, and they always wanted to play football. Like they're always keen,
And they weren't the group that success came early. Did you say under 16 was your breakthrough year?
16 was your first year. McCool's got the better at under 12 and under 13 as it was at the time. But we made the breakthrough at 16, and and again at 18.
We know these are strange times, and you had no under-21 championship last year, and I suppose given the way that the championships are drawn now and senior overlapping and one thing and another, you probably got very little done with this team until the senior championship season was wrapped up, was it?
Absolutely nothing done with them, Tom. And in fact, we were wondering if there's going to be an under-21 championship at all. In fact, we thought there wasn't going to be, because there was chat about trying to run something off in the middle of the summer, but I don't think there was too much of an appetite for it from any club, because they're all involved with seniors. So it's great to have it at all, you know.
Yeah, and the downside is, as you said, you didn't get any work done with them, so you've relied on games.
Exactly. No work at all done with them. So we hope to get... They're all in Dublin and Belfast and Galway anyway. They're all away. So hopefully we'll get them for an hour on Saturday morning.
Yeah. And two games so far...
We had Aroa first to make it through. That's, you know, first outing was, players were a bit nervous and the bench were a bit nervous, and but we got through. And we were generally worried about Four Masters. They're a good side. Like they won last year's minors, and they're albeit this year they're under 19s are strong. But we had a flying start, playing, we hit the ground running, so we got off to a good start. Big help.
When I look at the team here, I see Peter McInniff, I see your own son Sean. He's been there right up to the years. Which I see Kieran Tobin, as you've mentioned, James Kelly, Owen Dowling, David Boyle, Shane O'Donnell, Conor O'Donnell, Ronan McGeehan, Pádraig McGettigan. You know, they're nearly all household names in Donegal after this summer.
They're not a bad team now. They're not a bad side. Yeah. They're all great attitude, the whole lot. I'm never any bother with them. They always wanted to work. They always wanted to train. You know, they're a great bunch.
Yeah, and obviously in great shape, having come through the senior championship in terms of preparation and training for that.
They're all big men. It's scary, Tom. Looking down at them, it seemed like last year, and now they're...
Yeah, from boys to men, from boys.
Yeah, you jump out of their way to saw them coming.
And talk to me about McCool's. As you mentioned, great rivalry there. You've crossed swords a few times over the years at underage.
Yeah, they're a good side again. I mean, some of the names there, like Joel and Oshin up front. I mean, it's scary what they did to our draw. You've Jamie Keegan, another fabulous footballer. You've Chad and Luke in the middle of the field, and you've Joe Boyle. I mean, they're all super footballers too. You know, all played under, you know, represented the county at underage, different levels, different ages. And say we had a big rivalry at under-16s. I think we met four or five times that year between Northern finals and replays and so on. And they're super team, and we're very, very worried about them.
And tell me, have you got everybody?
Yeah, everybody is. Well, hopefully. Dylan Dugan's out for the hamstring. Young Kieran Moore's coming on okay. Hurt his knee, he didn't feature the last day. Unfortunately, Noel O'Donnell's gone. Noel went out against he went over and he rolled his ankle against Area on day one. So it's very unfortunate for Noel, you know, a young fella that had broken into the team, but next year.
Home advantage, worth a point or two?
Well, I don't know. You'd rather be at home than away, obviously. But it's probably one of the better surfaces at the minute, given the weather conditions.
That's Pádraig Ryan, who is the manager of the St. Eunan's under-21 side as they head into that county final this weekend. And as you heard, Pádraig alluded to there hasn't been much time for the managers to prepare their teams. It's a similar case for the guys from McCool's. Coach Gary Wilson, however, is confident that they can put it up to the Letterkenny side on Sunday.
The work has been done now, Dick. We were, myself and Luke, came together about a week before the Killabays game, and we had no real time to prepare for that, and before we knew it then it was the Dermot game, and we had no real time to prepare for that. And their draw and followed it up, so we're well used to it, having to think quickly, you know, and prepare very quickly. But to be fair to the lads, they've been absolutely excellent. Like, everything we've asked them to do or not do, they've done it. So
Well, between the minors and the seniors, they were all in action anyway, weren't they?
They were all in action. There was a lot of them in action. Now, there was one lad, we got him kind of coaxed out of the soccer field, and we got him back. He'd been away for a couple of years.
Who's that?
It was Conor Darley, the wing forward, number 10.
Right.
So we got him coaxed back as part of the team. He was there from, he was a very young man, like, so he was along with them along the journey.
Yeah.
So we got him back now for one last sort of hurrah.
Yeah, because this group, by and large, most of them are, the bulk of them have been with Luke. I know you came in at minor, but have been with Luke since they're under 8 days. Actually, Oisin Gallen was saying to me he remembers been with Luke at under 6.
They've been with Luke from the very, like, it's a kind of a story everybody talks about in the club. Luke took them from, I suppose, Luke Jr. could kick a ball.
Yeah.
Luke Sr. then was leading the charge with Eamon Griffin there and Kieran Gilhooley and Austin Dignan, and then obviously Damon Devaney was the story last week with the kind of the crossover in the clubs. And then it was Mickey McMahon approached me when they were in the minor level. I think Luke took a wee bit of a sabbatical and asked, was interested in helping out with the team, sort of as a senior player figure, you know, so that's where my kind of involvement came into it. And so mine's has been minimal now to Luke's involvement.
Yeah, yeah. Having said that, in terms of the preparation, I know I spoke to Pádraig Ryan earlier, you've probably got a little bit more done because they were so engrossed in Donegal senior finals and in the Ulster senior championship. And I know it's frightening when you think there's, what, 4 or 5 of them on the team that won the senior championship.
That's it. That's the calibre you're going up against. Like, I mean, you're going up against the Peter McInniffs and the Shane O'Donnells. Like, Shane O'Donnell was man of match in the county final. you know, that's the caliber of player that you're going up against, and you know, it's going to be a tall ask for us to kind of corral them boys, you know. But look, we've the men there, and hopefully we can corral them to some extent, and then hopefully our forwards can do the business at the other end, you know.
And you have some good forwards, obviously. Oisin is the one, and Joel has come in this year.
I suppose everybody talks about Oisin. Oisin's Oisin, but stage, like, some of the things that he does, you know, they're pretty unbelievable. Like, some,
what was it, 1-7 against Kitty Beggs? Was it 1-10 against Terman, I think, and what, 10 points against...
He'd be critical of himself at times, you know, and he would be always kind of fussing about the ones that he must. And even when I watch back the Terman game, when he dropped the free short at the end, the hands went to the head, so I think he thought it was kind of gone, you know. But look, credit to Oisin, you know, he's put himself into this position. You know, it's not just happened for him. Mm-hmm. He works awfully hard. But then on the other side of that, like, with some incredible forwards, like Joel Bradley Walsh is, it's an unbelievable forward. And young Kevin McCormick, you know, he's an outstanding minor. And then we have lads like Jamie Keegan at 11. Like, Jamie's the heartbeat of our team.
He's another minor.
Yeah, if Jamie's at it, we're at it, you know. He's a real catalyst for the way we want to play.
And how big a boost has obviously the minors coming in? Because I think there's five of them on the team, isn't there?
There's five of them on the team, and obviously Kevin starts. But they just bring a winning mentality. You know, we're trying to bridge gaps, I suppose, at McCool's. You know, we've a big gap with the minor title, trying to bridge another gap with the 21 title.
49 with the minors, I think.
Yeah, so we're trying to bridge gaps. So these young lads, like, I think they're on a coast of 17 games unbeaten. And I mean, winning, in my mind, winning breeds winning. You know, you kind of nearly forget how to lose. Coming off the bench, like, they've been, for me personally, they've been amazing, the coach, because if you said to them, jump up and down 100 times, they'll just do it, you know, and they're great. Like,
obviously, as a senior player, it'll make sure that you'll hang on for another while, because obviously these guys coming through the senior, and that's the ultimate aim, isn't
it? That's the ultimate aim. Like, I mean, I'm 33 now in January, like, so it's, you know, my days are coming slowly to an end, like, but when you see some of these young lads coming behind you, you're kind of going, you could just get out sooner than too long, you know. But no, it's great, you know, and you're able to pass on little bits of nuggets information that you might have that might help them along the way. And that goes to the top, like Oisin and Joel, and those lads that are sort of the more senior figures, they're always after information, little nuggets.
Yeah. And I suppose, given what happened at 16, you know, later on, maybe at minor, I'm not sure if they met in the minor championship, but they certainly met in two finals in a row at 16. There's certainly McCool's over, but St. Jude's won at this level.
Aye, that's it. They do have good history there. But for me, you can never play football in emotion. I think if you play it in emotion, you're going to lose the run of yourself. You have to go on, you know, with cool heads and calm heads, to go out and try to deliver the game plan you've been sent out with. You know, and Unions is going to come with a game plan, and we've spoke about their game plan, but you have to ride what they're going to bring to the table, and then also go and deliver what you want to bring to the table. I think if you bring emotion into it, and history and past, and we owe them one, I think you could be going down a slippery slope.
And finally, any injury worries, or anybody, have you got everybody?
Well, we have everybody, I mean, at this stage of the season, for a lot of them lads that have played senior, and I suppose even the minors, you're going since last January. I mean, you're nearly at 12 months, so, you know, you're picking up knocks and niggles here and there. But no, clean bill of health, just tired bodies, I suppose, at this stage. You know.
Do you get a vibe? Do you get a feeling for the game, for the final? Do you get a feeling?
I do, yeah, I do. Like, I wouldn't be standing with them, and I've said this all the time, I wouldn't go on the line with them if I didn't believe they could do something. And I do believe there's enough players in this to really start to really shape a destiny for McCool's. That's my ultimate aim, you know. Nothing would make me happier than seeing a senior title come back to McCool's. Like, you know, they're going to wait on the race titles, but you have to win the big one eventually. You know, I do have a feeling that these guys can potentially be the man to start leading real change, you know.
That's Gary Wilson, part of the management of the McCool side, who will face St Unions this Sunday in the Under-21A Championship Final at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. There's an earlier start time that brought it forward by 15 minutes. It will throw in at 1:45 on Sunday afternoon. And if you can't make it as far as the O'Donnell Park, tune Highlands Way will have full live match commentary for you from that one on a Sunday. Elsewhere on Sunday, the Under-21B Championship semi-final, Milford are taking on Fannad Gaels. That one is down in Downings, starting at 12 o'clock. And in an Under-21C Football Championship semi-final, also on Sunday, in Lifford, Convoy will play Neve Colmkilla too. Those are the Sunday games. There's also matches on Saturday. The other Under-21B semi-finals at the Burn Road and Termon, when Neve Mura up against Mallon at 2 o'clock. And the first of the Under-21C semi-finals is in Muff as Red Hughes play Cairn Donagh. Under-21A Hurling Championship semi-final on Saturday as well. It's at 2 o'clock. St Eunan's are playing Burt, and that one is taking place in Convoy. But the standout tie on Saturday involving the Donegal side is without doubt the Ulster semi-final. Downings, the Donegal junior winners, will resume their quest for provincial glory when they face Monaghan champion Sean McDermott at the semi-final stage in Edirne. That's in County Fermanagh, and the game starts at 1 o'clock. We will have updates from that game on Saturday afternoon with Tom Comack as from the 1 o'clock start. Downings, of course, are heading into the last four after an opening round won against Down champions Oslas-Naffin 2 weeks ago, coming through by 11 points to 7. But on Downing's two previous outings in the Ulster Championship, they lost to Monaghan opposition. They're hoping it's going to be a different story this time round on Saturday. Part of the management trio is Anthony Boyle, and he's been speaking with Tom Comack.
The boys are looking forward to it. You know, they would like to take that next step. Beaten twice by Monaghan teams in the past, you know, came close. I think it was only 1 point in it in one of the games. Maybe there was seven in one of the other outings.
Yeah, I think the last one was against Black Hills. That was a pretty close game, and that's only 2016. So quite a few of that team stood about.
Yeah, there's a few of those boys in 16. There's still, I think, accounted quite a number of them. Tom, you know, we're a pretty balanced side, in so far as there's, you know, the other 21s make up about 10 of the panel, and there's 15 then of more senior guys, quite a number of whom would have played in 16.
And, like, talk to me about who the boys in 16 who would have played.
Yeah, off the top of my head, John and Goals, as far as I know, John McGruddy would have played, Ben McNutt in the full back line, Kevin Gooch-Doherty would have played, the two Boyces, who normally play middle of the field, Shane and Oisin, Danny McBride would have been there, Eric Roberts, Lorcan Connor, James Lee.
Yeah. The backbone of the team, really.
Yeah, down the middle, a lot of those players tend to play in those core positions, Tom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, made up by some very, very good under-21s then alongside them.
Yeah. I know the objective with most clubs at the start of the season is to win Donegal. But you came in September the 9th, I think. That's what Kevin Cookie Gallagher told me.
Yes.
And Barney Curran along with you and Kevin. And Barney said straight away that he wanted to get a crack at Ulster. So obviously he set the bar at a certain at that very early stage.
He did, you know, and when he said it, I was delighted to hear it, really, Tom, because it brought me back to whenever Pádraig McShay looked after us in Killybegs in 96. It was one of the early things that he said, you know, that he would love to get a run in Ulster. And I suppose that's because he had pedigree in Ulster himself, come back into the St. Joseph team back in the 70s, you know. So whenever Barney mentioned it, you know, I thought that that's a great aspiration to have, and why not? You know, he knows the talent that's in that Downings team. It's just that they haven't realised it in recent years to the extent that they could.
Yeah. So, obviously, the main thing about the first round in Ulster is to get through it. You did that. You were very impressive in the first half. Not at all in the second half, actually. Only 8-1 up at half-time. You only added another 3 points and lived dangerously.
We'd been very disappointed with the second half. You know, Tom, Auchinleck and the Finn were very, very wasteful. If they had been sharper in front of the post, I would have no doubt that Sean McDermott will be, especially with the calibre of player they have and the likes of Niall Cairns. So we won't get away with that level of sloppiness or lack of discipline or focus the next day, Tom, you know.
Yeah. Speaking to Barney during the week, he was saying that second half performance is probably a blessing in disguise, because I don't know if the hairdryer was out, but there was a lot of harsh talking done afterwards.
Yeah, I suppose it's, you know, Tom, afterwards, when we watched the video, you know, the boys could see the amount of mistakes that they made. You know, we've been watching Sean McDermott's, like, and what impressed me about them is their level of focus, how alert they are, how quickly they want to get on with the game, you know, and I think that, you know, they took advantage of Balik's lack of focus in that respect. And what we're pointing out to the boys, if you're not up and alert for these guys, you know, they will catch you out, which they did.
Yeah. Well, as did you see in the video about Sean McDermott, or what impressed you?
You know, as soon as the referee gave a free, well, you might have a Bleaks man with his back turned to the ball or not reset, they were getting on with it instantly. Mm. You know, and I thought that's something that's deliberate. It's not, you know, you don't do that by chance. Mm. And it's a good attribute in a team.
Niall Cairns is the name mentioned by most people, obviously, because he plays senior football for Monaghan.
Yes.
Any other individuals stick out for you?
I suppose Cairns is obviously the marquee player, and he's excellent. There's no doubt about that, Tommy.
Big man too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an excellent, not alone a good footballer, but he's an athlete by all accounts. In terms of the ground he covers, Adam O'Driscoll up front, I think he had Monaghan experience as well. He looks like he'd be a handful for any fullback. Good left foot, good hands, Tom. Just uses the ball well. I thought he was clever on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They've a very tall fullback. I would have seen some clips of him maybe a year or two ago. And while he might, I suppose, see his job as looking after Lorcan Connor on the day, if he opens up his legs and tries to go up the field, he can move, Tom.
Yeah. And tell me, how has preparations gone the last couple of weeks? Have you got much work done, given the weather and everything?
The weather's been restrictive, Tom, now, but we've managed to get out. We've been fortunate. There's been a couple of bad nights, but we were able to train. We have the lights there, as Barney would have said to you in maybe previous chats, and the under-21s got a good run out, albeit they lost against a very good Nivora side last Saturday.
Yeah.
So that would have helped some of those boys get game time as well, maybe fellas that are on the brink of the senior team.
And do you sense in the squad that they have an appetite to go a bit further?
Oh, I do, Tom, very much so. And I'm glad of that, because I wasn't sure how it would be after the under-21 loss. A little bit of flatness, naturally. But I think once the under-21 guys get back in with the senior boys, you know, the focus is very much on Saturday.
Yeah, and injury-wise, have you got everybody, or have you anybody struggling? Danny McBride, I know, has struggled, obviously, all through the season.
Danny's trying hard to... No, it wasn't... During the season, he was actually okay, Tom, but it was a knock he picked up recently on his calf, and he's been working hard to try and get that ratified, but he hasn't played since he picked it up, and he obviously missed the last game, you know, so he's a concern. Kevin Gooch-Doherty has the flu at the moment, so obviously that's an issue. Kevin works outdoors a lot, so he's prone to picking up colds and flus, you know, so hopefully he'll be okay for Saturday, but he's a factor.
Tiernan McBride, who missed the Lisna Finn game, was back playing with the under-21s last week, so obviously he's back in the frame.
Absolutely, he's an option for us. Thankfully, Tiernan's an excellent young defender, Tom, and he's there to be picked from if required.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you've experienced an Ulster with Kerry Beggs. What's your good feeling on this one?
I suppose, having watched Sean McDermott on several occasions now, Tom, if our boys bring their A game, if they're as focused as them, if they're as alert as them, if they carry the game to them, Sean. To Sean McDermott, they have a chance, a very good chance.
Does the fact that Sean McDermott's are a big physical side and Downing's aren't, is that a concern?
It is, Tom, but that's why I'm saying to you that if they play to their strengths, our boys, in terms of their running game, off the shoulder support, taking the game to them, they have a chance, because I think Bleaks did that to them in the first half, and they were down a point up. But it was in the second half that I felt that they made a lot of mistakes, weren't as alert as Sean McDermott's, and I suppose that's what we're trying to instill in our guys, that you have concentration has to be for the full 70 minutes.
That is Anthony Boyle, part of the management of Downing's, ahead of that Ulster semi-final on Saturday against Sean McDermott's. The Monaghan champion starts at 1 o'clock. Edernay and County Fermanagh is the venue for that game. The other semi-final, Derry champions Desert Martin are up against Den from Cavan. That game is taking place at the same time, and Clonus will be the venue for that semi-final. Among the other Ulster games involving sides from the northwest, Namaha of Derry are playing it in the Junior Hurling Championship semi-final. It's in Carrickmore on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Carrick Macross of Monaghan is the opposition there for the Derry side. In the Senior Hurling Championship on Sunday, the Derry winners Slough Neil are playing at the Athletic Grounds against Dunloy, the Antrim champions. While at intermediate level in hurling, Banagher of Derry are playing Middletown of Armagh in Corrigan Park, and Carrickmore Air Og of Tyrone are up against Lisbelwa Fermanagh. That's at the Athletic Grounds in the other intermediate semi-final this coming weekend. Now to boxing. The Irish elite champion Paddy McShane will seek out an Ulster title tonight. The Letterkenny ABC fighter faces Craig Bigger of Cookstown. That is in the flyweight final, which is taking place in Belfast. Already this week, there was disappointment for Dunloe's Matthew McCall, who lost out 3-2 at the semi-final stage. Four Donegal boxers will be in action this weekend at the National Boys and Girls 11 to 12 year old championships in the Drimna Boxing Club in Dublin. Dunloe's David Tennyson will feature in the Boy 2 48 kilogram semi-final on Friday. He's up against Belfast fighter Francis McCullough. Also on Friday, Colin Kearney of St. Bridges and Clonmany will go up against Pat Quilligan from the Saviour's Crystal Club. That's in Boy 2 semi-final at 56 kg. On Saturday morning, Rafo's Georgia Mia Doherty will lock horns with her namesake, Lauren Doherty, from Father Horgan's in Cork in the Girl 2 semi-final at 41 kg. And on Saturday afternoon, Rafo's Blonde Bomber at Taylor Park goes up against Antrim's Colin Dunlop, and that is in the Boy 1 final, and it starts at 31 kg, excuse me, and that is on Saturday afternoon. So four Donegal boxers looking to do well on the national stage there. Turning our attention to local soccer, and the standout fixtures this coming weekend are from the Knockalla Caravans Cup. It's the first round of competition. There is three games down for decision on Saturday, with a further four to come on Sunday. At the first game to kick things off, Kepri Rovers on the road at Glashlock Villa. That starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Then at 2, Cockhill Celtic are hosting Glengadge United in an all-Inishowen affair. And at 4 o'clock, Bunnagee United, the leaders in the Ulster Senior League, are taking on Inishowen Premier Division side Greencastle. On to Sunday at 1 o'clock, Castlefin Celtic will host Letterkenny Rovers off the Ulster Senior League. Finn Harps under-21s are also at home as they play Buncrana Hearts. Monaghan United are going to make the trip into Inishowen to play Alia on Sunday afternoon, while Derry City Reserves are also away from home. They're going to make the longest trip of the whole lot. They're heading for Cavan Town on Sunday. There is matches taking place at junior level in both the Donegal and Inishowen leagues this coming weekend. On Saturday, there's a full programme of matches to be played in Division 1 and Division 2. Two games stand out this coming weekend. There's a top of the table clash in Division 1 on Saturday. Donegal Town taking on Glencairn Celtic. Those two sides sharing top spot in the division, so they're going to make a big statement on the chase for the title, whoever comes out of that one at the weekend. While in Division 2 on Saturday, there's five games down for decision, and with the leaders not playing, the leaders are Remelton Mariners, they're not in action on Saturdays, given the opportunity to Dunluce Celtic to go top off the table if they can take victory against Castlefin Celtic Reserves. Two games in the Premier Division on Sunday, Glenelg United play Kildrum Tigers, and Cadger Rovers are taking on Bunnagee United. It's given the sides a bit of a chance to close the gap on the leaders at the top, because they're not playing on Sunday. In Division 1, there's a three-way tie at the top. St Catharines, Dromahol and Kerrykeel all share a top spot. St Catharines go to Ballybuffet United. Dromahol are making the trip to Fannage United, who are looking to get back into contention to the three sides above them. And Kerrykeel 71 Club are taking on Swally Rovers, and a big game there, of course, neighbouring sides as well. And then he's shown with the top sides playing in the Knockalla Caravans Cup. There's two matches in the Premier Division. Cockhill Youths are playing Mavilla Celtic, and Clonmany Shamrocks are taking on Cairn FC. Also matches in Division 1 and Division 2. The leaders in Division 1 are Alia Reserves. They currently have a 7-point advantage at the top. They play Dunree United. And Caramina FC are the leaders in Division 2. They have a 5-point cushion over Illidge Reserves, and there's a top of the table clash as both of those sides will meet in Division 2 on Sunday as well. In rugby, the All-Ireland League Division 2C action continues this weekend for the North West sides, and you could call it a derby match because they will meet on Saturday in Omagh. Omagh taking on City of Derry. Both sides in the bottom half of the table. Of the games played to date, Omagh have 3 wins, 1 draw and 4 losses, while City of Derry have suffered 6 losses in their 8 games with 2 victories. And in the Ulster Championship Division 3 this weekend, Letterkenny are looking to make up for the defeat last time out. They go to play Belfast High School former pupils, while in the same division, Strabane are taking on University Ulster Coleraine. Raphoe are back on the pitch with their final game to see the year out. It's in Cork competition. The Raphoe hockey side, that is. They are at home on Saturday taking on South Antrim. That one starts at 2. And finally, in basketball, it's going to be a busy weekend for LYIT Donegal. First up is the men's in Division 1 of the league on Saturday as they play University Ulster. And it's a double weekend for the women with matches on both Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday at 2 o'clock, the LYIT ladies will take on Marble City Hawks. And their second game of the weekend is a 2:30 on Sunday as they welcome the Galway side, NUIG Majestic, to the LYIT arena, of course, then Danlin Centre, which is in the Port Road just outside of Letterkenny. So another busy weekend on the basketball front, particularly for the women. As we head towards the close of the year, it's going to be another busy weekend as well. Just to remind you, we will have updates from the Downings match in the Ulster Championship on Saturday. We're also going to feature Bunagee against Greencastle in the Knockalla Caravans Cup on Saturday, which starts at 4 on the soccer front. And then on Sunday, our feature game will be the Donegal Under-21A final, where St Eunan's will take on McCool's. And that is it from the Score for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed the show, you can log on to highlandradio.com, go to the sports section right about 8 o'clock or so, and you'll be able to listen back to the show there. Plus, you'll be able to watch one of the interviews as well from McCool's Gary Wilson. Our next sports bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, so what's left of your Thursday. Enjoy it, have a good one, have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.